Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Referring to KER politics, we're going to do a little bit of a change in our format. It's not really a huge change, but we want you to be aware that we're going to be getting our news from, I guess what I would call, alternative sources. Jimmy's going to talk a little bit about those. I'm concentrating on Citizens Free Press, which I think is an excellent website. And Jimmy's got about probably a half a dozen or so websites that he goes through every single day. Jimmy, what are the four topics that you would like to let the audience know that we're going to be discussing today in our four segments?
Well, I think, Al, it's really important that that certain items that don't get a lot of attention in the mainstream media get attention somewhere. And by talking about them, we actually hopefully will spread the word and get more discussion out there.
Yeah.
And the topics today, I think, are the ones that we want to approach. The first one is really about the CDC doing tracking on personal mobile phones, and then what's happening with vaccines and what happened in Germany. The second one is really more information. It's beginning to show up in the mainstream press, but what's happened with the Hunter Biden and the Biden family and China connections and how significant those are and what the Department of Justice has failed to do.
Let me just interrupt you for one segment. I don't think anybody realizes, in my environment, for example, nobody is really aware of the magnitude of the payoffs that the Biden family in total are getting from China.
No, I agree. And we'll discuss that in segment two and get into some detail with some real clear investigations, Paul Sperry's articles, and a lot of information that's beginning to come out from the Oversight Committee with Comer's Republican-led House committee.
Yep.
And then, of course, I think we need to really discuss some of the potential long-term problems with debt and information in the third segment with banking and what's going on with Janet Yellen, the Fed, and, of course, the potential collapse of the entire Western world's banking system.
Real possibility, you folks out there. Think about that. Think about that. Jim's got some excellent research, as do I, but the collapse... The magnitude of the collapse that's occurred so far is incredibly important to the future of our country.
Yeah, and then the last segment, let's just go ahead and wrap it up with kind of the politics. You know, what's going on behind the scenes in both the Republican, you know, the burgeoning Republican primary, and then what's happening with the behind the scenes with, you know, Kamala and Biden, maybe some more discussion for our listeners to chew on a little bit. So I think really let's start off though with what's happening with the CDC and some of this information that's being reported by the Epoch Times and by Not the Bee, a couple other sources talking about what the CDC has done to access Americans' personal cell phone information.
Yeah, I want to say one thing. It's really incredible the negative effects of an awful lot of the immunizations, etc., etc. People aren't really totally aware of just how bad some of it is. Let's talk about that, Jim.
Yeah. So, well, and I think where we're starting from, the starting point here is, all right, we had this lockdown, this kind of CDC, NIH, National Institute organized and coordinated effort to lock down 2 weeks to slow the spread, if we remember back in March. We're right now approaching the three-year mark of those edicts. President Trump was president at the time. He was listening to experts that he thought he could trust.
Yep.
It turns out that he could not trust them. It turns out that the American people cannot trust them. And what we've seen is a constant effort not only to downplay bad negative information about the decisions that were made at that time, but also we're understanding now how strong the efforts were by the government in order to silence people. And one of these key things that has just come out through documents that have been released or that have, you know, through Freedom of Information Act releases, the Epoch Times is reporting that the CDC paid $420,000 to a company, to one company, and $208,000 to another company to gain access location data for a minimum of 55 million American cell phone users.
Yep.
Those are purchase orders that they made. So we know this is factual. They did it. And it, the reason why they did it was in order to track Americans and if they followed the stay-at-home orders, what they were doing with closures, when places were reopening, and then communicating with public health officials in different states and localities in order to for mask mandates and other research areas.
Yeah.
This information is, in my view, incredibly Orwellian and absolutely unacceptable to a free society when the government is trying to track you down in order to shape and engineer your social behavior based on orders that it turned out to be somewhat problematic, if not absolutely wrong.
When you call it an Orwellian society, referring to his classic book, 1984, I have to say I could not agree with you more on that. I would like to know what our radio listeners think. You guys, just give us an opinion so we know in which direction to take this program to make it effective, to make it important to you guys. Just go to www.kereport.com and let Jim and I know what you think.
Yeah, so it's amazing they were monitoring things like stay-at-home lockdown orders,
yep.
who needed to stay, social distancing, mask mandates, social inequalities. These are some of the things that they have justified this for. Forcing business closures, school closures, vaccine campaigns. That's why they were using this data. This is what they're admitting to. They also looked at people's travel perks, you know, who traveled on their, you know, during that period, those time periods with,
yep.
With points they earned on their credit card, how they traveled, would they fly? Did they drive or did they, you know, take other public transportation? And then looking at migration of people from maybe the lockdown states to the free states, the ones that were not enforcing the same issues. So this is a very comprehensive and thorough analysis of American population in order to justify or to evaluate the success or failure of their programs, but ultimately gives them tremendous power over time to take away individual choice and rights under circumstances that they deem, that the CDC or that the government deems as a crisis. And of course, as we know, much of the information about the level of threat and the damage that was in America was basically badly portrayed. And we also know that maybe a lot of the processes and the things that the CDC had used failed. And of course, we know that with the Cochrane study on the mask mandates, that they in fact did nothing. And that was absolutely the gold standard on doing a review of masking. We know that the vaccination process, in fact, did not, that has actually not stopped the spread. We know that the lockdowns did not stop the spread. And we know that the push towards the jab, making people force vaccinations,
right,
actually undermine efforts for other alternative treatments like ivermectin or, you know, it really changed the emphasis in order to force people to take vaccines at the best interest of pharmaceutical companies and at the damage to a good percentage of people. Even the German health minister, I know we've only got a few seconds left here,
That's
but the
okay.
German health minister has come
Just
out and said
about 30.
That there's more damage from the vaccines than anticipated. 1 in 10,000, others say maybe 1 in 1,000.
Right. It's a very big problem. What Jim and I would really like to know is we'd like to know what you as a group, you folks who listen to the show on the radio stations, just give us a buzz, give us a real quick comment, www.kereport.com. Let us know.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Time for the next segment, where Jim wants to tack something on a little bit to what we were talking about in segment 5. That would obviously be the prior segment. Jimmy, what do you got to say, bud?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that people understood when you go, if you want to comment on the blog, go to KERPolitics, the KERPolitics link, and it'll be a little flag over on the side, and you can go ahead and pull it up there,
sure.
And you'll see the bloggers comment quite a bit on what's going on with both our comments and what's happening in the world, and provide a lot of information
right.
out there that
right.
you don't see in normal places.
Okay. Go ahead. You want to talk right now a little bit about the Biden family and China, stuff that you're not hearing about in the news. Go ahead, Jim.
That's right. Well, actually, some of it is beginning to break in the news. Actually, the top headline today, Friday, as we record this on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day out there to listeners if they hear it tonight.
Yeah.
But the actual discussion is about money that was paid to the Biden family from Chinese energy company.
Yeah.
And that money is over $3 million that went to different companies and sub-companies, but actually $1 million that went directly to Biden family members, including Jim Biden, Haley Biden, Beau's former wife before he passed away, and then, of course, Hunter's later girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, of course, this tracks back directly to the Chinese Communist Party and, in fact, intelligence operations. And there's very little information about what the Bidens actually provided in consulting services to these Chinese companies. And so what it shows, there's a couple of things that are happening with this. It shows a very strong influence by Chinese, with Chinese money and businesses on the Biden family that was actually covered up by the Department of Justice and the FBI. And it shows a very different Department of Justice and FBI as they actually manipulated information to target the Trump administration over Russian connections and attempted to frame Donald Jr. and a bunch of other people, both publicly haranguing them, releasing a lot of information, while simultaneously there was tremendous amount of factual information from significant activity reports from the Department of Treasury about these massive payments to the Biden family. The FBI had been looking into this, but they actually were covering up and they didn't follow through with many of the potential charges that they could have as they were going after people on the opposite side of the aisle that were actually currently in the administration. That shows a complete disregard for, in my view, equality and justice, but it also is very risky to the American national security, much more so than the accusations of a bad phone call that created the, with Zelensky between Trump, that was the impeachment effort.
Right.
And of course, we've all seen the outcome of the Mueller investigation and the failures there, and of course what the FBI had done by manipulating documentation about actually allowing FISA warrants to continue to track and investigate members of the Trump campaign, and then eventually the Trump administration, including getting Michael Flynn fired for no justifiable reason. So you've got this very, very big problem of Chinese influence in the U.S. government combined with Chinese influence or some sort of political ignorance on Department of Justice and the FBI to follow up with that in order to protect their favored political entities.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous situation for America.
And I want to say one thing that's very, very important, and that is you can't make this stuff up. If you want verification of anything that Jim or I say on this radio program, just request it by going to our website, www.kereport.com. Guarantee nobody will contact you for anything. Just let us know, and we will provide you with a source. Jim, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so the China Daily, which is clearly a Chinese Chinese propaganda voice for the government, has actually published a very interesting article on the Chinese proposed Global Civilization Initiative.
Right.
So this is an effort by China to shape the future of the world. They're taking a leadership role as the United States is falling behind and failing very miserably right now. The conditions have become to the point where most European countries have very little faith and trust in the Biden administration. We certainly don't have the leadership we had once had in economics and free markets because of course that's, we'll talk about it in the next segment. We'll talk about the banking situation, the crisis right there. The United States left allies hanging in 20 years worth of, and trillions of dollars worth of efforts and lost lives in Afghanistan with a pullout that actually strengthened the Taliban after 20 years took them out of power.
Yep.
And of course, who's going to fill the vacuum of power when the United States is failing and falling? It's going to be the biggest growing economy and the largest demographic in the world with the Chinese. And of course, their growing military power, their growing political influence, and their connections to the Belt and Road Initiative, and their very aggressive actions in what they call unrestricted warfare, are creating significant problems.
Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about unrestricted warfare. What exactly is unrestricted warfare?
So basically, in the early 90s, the Chinese military watched the United States in the first Iraq War, and how rapidly we were able to overcome basically one of the largest armies in the world within a few weeks. And they, two colonels wrote a paper, and you can actually look it up and listen to it. It's on Amazon.com, but it basically talks about how the United States depends on technology, and China's going to have to do something very different and use every aspect of power to undermine and to grow and to supplant the United States as the world's leader and the world's power. And so unrestricted warfare talks about using all means, all aspects of diplomatic power, of economic power, of information warfare, of biological warfare. We can talk about COVID and where that came from. All types of efforts in order to undermine the strength of the West and specifically the United States in order for them to take the leadership role in the world. And that plan, they lay it out. And since that 1997-1998 paper, it appears that the Chinese have done a tremendous job and been quite successful, and have clearly, according to much information, what we've just talked about in the previous segment, infiltrated and influenced major political actors in the United States, as well as co-opting major global corporations in order to bow to their needs in order to make money.
And Jim, I want to take a break here. We got to cut for the top of the hour news. All I want to say is please give us your comments, positive or negative, to www.kereport.com.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. The main problem we have in America right now, really to a very large extent, isn't so much China, but it is the banking system in our country. We have a real big problem on our hands. Like to get opinions on this from our radio audience, if you would. Please. Just send them to just go to www.kereport.com, and it's very obvious how you can do that. You have my word, nobody will ever know that you commented, aside from Jim and myself. Jimmy, let's talk about the banking system. It's really in the toilet right now. And while this is going on, the president of Silicon Valley Bank is relaxing in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of problems that are happening right now, massive problems that are impacting global financial systems. And these things are not unrelated to China's influence and what we talked about in the previous segment with unrestricted warfare, because there are a lot of maneuvers that are happening behind the scenes that are undermining the global banking system in order to move the dollar away from the you know, basically the world's reserve currency.
Right.
And of course, deservedly so in some cases, because what we're seeing right now is this bailout that started with Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah.
Where and it flat out, it's a bailout. They're bailing out all investors, not just the depositors.
Right.
I shouldn't say investors, but they're bailing out all depositors in the bank.
Right. Of course they are.
Who had and 95% or more of the depositors actually were uninsured. So you're talking about 5% at the 250,000 maximum FDIC coverage. That's what should have been covered. But there were so many major corporations and a lot of startup companies in Silicon Valley, including some Chinese businesses, that had invested in the bank. And the reason why they'd invested in the bank, because it had grown so rapidly, and so they were putting their money in there. And you know, I think it was like something like an 80%, better than 80% growth rate in the bank. So not only investors, but then they were unable to meet the liquidity demands when people began withdrawing money, because they had put money in long-term, low-yield bonds, treasury bonds. And what's been happening because of inflation, and inflation is the result of government expenditures, And a whole number of issues, demand after COVID, the supply chain issues, inflation, really though, has been driven by, you know, trillions of dollars of additional government expenditures.
Yep.
That problem is not gone away. The Federal Reserve banks begin raising interest rates. Those interest rates make those long-term 1% or 1.5% yield bonds valueless. People take money out. They were using those bonds as liquidity.
Yep.
They don't have the liquidity because those bonds don't. They actually are below value, market value, because no one wants to buy them.
No.
So what happens? They get $2 billion short. And then they have to go bankrupt. The federal government and the FDIC and the Treasury Department, they step in to backstop it. Then they promise all depositors, not just the $250,000 FDIC limits, but all depositors to cover their money. Well, the same thing happens with Signature Bank, which is primarily, it was very focused on crypto investments. And of course, crypto's, you know, declined very heavily because of all the problems with FTX. And Coinbase and a number of these crypto exchanges that have gone bankrupt. All this is cascading because of bad government economic policy. And now as they start to bail these problems out, they're actually making it worse. They are prolonging the inevitable collapse of the system, in my view. And that's, and unfortunately, they're trying to work this by putting their fingers in the holes in the dike as the waves are coming in, crashing, and the dike's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's getting huge. You know, I want to make one thing really, really obvious to our listeners, particularly you guys on the radio show. When it comes to the banking industry, Jimmy and I are really qualified to talk efficiently on that one. I was on the board of directors of a publicly traded bank for 21 years, a director, and Jimmy has been a director of Saturna Capital, a Bellingham-based money manager.
Saturna Investment Trust. Yes.
Investment Trust for how long, Jim?
Well, now about 6 years.
There you go. So, you know, we're not just blowing smoke. We feel very qualified to talk on this, and I think somebody needs to put out comments about how bad that this crisis could really evolve into. Very serious.
Well, what we're starting to see now is a lot of very influential and very powerful investors coming out and saying, hey, this is dangerous, and what's happening and the way the government is responding. is actually potentially making it a more challenging circumstance in the future.
Yeah.
I got into a discussion with an economist, actually a Canadian economist, yesterday, and in a board meeting actually, and they're like, well, you got to solve, you got to, what do you want? You protect half the people, at least you don't collapse the whole system. And my argument here is that, look, the institutional problems that we're facing, which is this massive, $31, $32 trillion debt and growing with the budget that was just proposed for the federal government, with these massive expenditures and these stimulus efforts that were way over the top, and then these bailouts, you're actually causing a significant problem in the future. And by solving with the bailouts, those are only short-term solutions. 1 year, and it looks like, according to some of the reporting right now, that the money that they provided for liquidity is being eaten up very quickly from banks. And so let's give an example. When you go back in 2008, the liquidity funding that was provided by the U.S. government was about $111 billion. So far, banks have pulled out, according to latest information from the FDIC, $168 billion. That's a 50% increase from the 2008 crisis. That indicates a very significant problem underneath because of these bond problems and the continued interest. Now, the increase in interest rates. When you've got inflation, and according to the last report, it's going up. It's not going down. It's at least staying at above 6.4%. That's incredibly problematic. There is a whole host of crises things that are coming to a head, and without addressing them effectively, and I unfortunately, when our government is focused more on diversity and woke capital and protecting interests than they are for the long term viability of the U.S. economy, we've got a problem, and we've got a very big problem. We don't have effective leadership right now.
We got a very big problem. Number one, on the leadership, we believe, and I think actions speak louder than words. And the actions of the leadership in this country right now, depending, of course, on which philosophy you adhere to, really, in our opinion, are not very proactive for America. But we want you to make up your own minds on that. What do you think? Let us know by contacting us at our website, www.kereport.com. Jimmy, wrap it up. We got about a minute, a little bit less.
Yeah, so, and again, with kereport.com, go to the politics session. That's what this radio show is. So KER Politics, Google it, easy to find. You can look at the blog, you can listen to the show, you can listen to what we do during the week, and then, make your comments and expand that group. We've got a lot of different views that come out there. So I just think that what we're facing right now with these multiple crises, very problematic for the country. When we talk about China's influence and this unrestricted warfare, we talk about the problems with our own political system and our government, which is really focusing on attacking and attacking opposition.
And on that note, Jimmy, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here to wrap up KER Politics. In the segments behind us, we've been just talking pretty much about what's going on economically with the banking system, etc. In this segment, we're going to wrap up by talking about what's going on politically. Going to touch a little bit on the president, the vice president, and of course, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Jimmy, you want to start us out?
Yeah, so it looks to me like the Biden administration right now, the Biden regime, if you will, has really been having to, they're facing some very serious problems. And the more problems they face, much of them self-inflicted. Those problems that they face right now, though, that rather than trying to take effective measures to solve them, they're basically trying to gaslight the public and tell them everything's okay, and they continue to basically try to cover up. And of course, they've got the entire, if you want to call it the deep state, you want to call it the administrative state, whatever you want to call it, you've got Washington bureaucrats that are, including law enforcement agents, that are continuing to protect these people. And here's an interesting thought. Most of the federal statutes, statute of limitations for these federal crimes that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have been involved with are about 5 years. So what you're seeing is a stall mechanism where they can't be prosecuted if they don't bring charges forward within 5 years. And, you know, some of this stuff began happening in 2016 and 2017, right at the end of the Biden administration, the Obama Biden administration, and then those years after. So there's a concerted effort, it looks to me, from the Department of Justice and some of these investigations to protect them through the federal statute of limitations on some of these financial crimes that they were involved with. Of course, treason, there's no statute of limitations on that, but that would be a very tough political push to get in America right now. So a lot of what you're seeing right now with the House Oversight Committees, with the Republican-led House Oversight Committees, weaponization of government, and of course the Comer investigations on the overall oversight committee, and then of course, you know, the CDC and what the federal government did there. A lot of that is getting the information out, beginning to show it, but the media is not really playing it, and of course, it's just dragging time out. It's not really solving any of these problems. That is what we have to really think about as a population, as a country. How do we address these core issues with, you know, in voter fraud, in border, in crime? How do we address those with this very powerful pushback from the Biden regime, which really doesn't care much at all of what the public thinks anymore? They're going to push their agenda and engineer the population the best way they can, and it's becoming embarrassing for many, but there are still people out there that listen to them and believe them because the mainstream media corporations are backstopping them.
Well, thank God we've got freedom of speech in this country right now. Otherwise, you and I certainly wouldn't be here. And quite frankly, neither would any of our listeners, and we got quite a few listeners. Again, if you want to make any comments on what we're saying, go to our website, KER.com. Jimmy, it's really kind of sad when the Vice President of the United States goes to a local college basketball game and gets routinely, I don't want to say routinely, but gets very adamantly booed. I hate to see that with that Harris, when that happens. And Kamala Harris got roundly booed right now at a game that was, I believe it's part of the NCAA tournament, isn't it, Jimmy?
It was. It was Howard University, her alma mater. And so she went, and unfortunately for America, she got booed. I think it's politically fortunate that she did, because it shows the dissatisfaction with this regime. But I think the more embarrassing part of it was listening to her speech when she was talking in the locker room to the players after they had lost the game. Almost pathetic and embarrassing, and it really shows that we are willing to, that America in general is willing to elect anybody in this government, even no matter how incompetent they are, if they have a D behind their name. And of course, that shows the manipulation of the population.
Jimmy,
because she just really does not represent the presidency well, the United States well, or even herself.
Jim, what did she say in the locker room after the game?
Well, I won't go into detail with it because I can't really, I can only paraphrase, but basically it was just an embarrassing kind of commentary. And, you know, you guys are really good. And they were all very silent, just sitting there going, wow, lady, we lost. Put in little wisecracks and her little laughs that are somewhat embarrassing. But almost on a daily basis, Kamala Harris does something embarrassing to the office of the vice president.
Right. Okay, continue on, James.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are happening politically right now. You know, Mike Pence is coming out, and I think we talked about it during the week and in some of our shows, but Mike Pence is basically saying, hey, Trump was absolutely wrong on January 6th, and history will never forgive him for that, and he's going to go down as, you know, being such a problem. So Mike Pence, in preparing for his presidency run, is willing to actually go back on his own personal statements, both in December and January 4th, 2 days before, saying that we will do whatever it takes to get legal votes out there to investigate and let the Americans be heard. And of course, it looks like a coordinated effort by Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, and Mike Pence to declare an emergency on January 6th in order to change rules to not allow motions to go forward that would have called for audits in the key states with their electors because of the problems identified in the election. Now, what we know, and this is based on some theory out there, that bottom line is we had significant problems. But the theory right now that is becoming more apparent is that, in fact, the Department of Justice, the FBI, was somewhat involved in stirring events at the Capitol on January 6th, and that the House, Nancy Pelosi is responsible for security, did not allow National Guard to help secure it in spite of the White House and the Department of Defense offering multiple times to ensure safety and security of the Capitol. And of course, they did everything they could to blame the sitting president at the time. And of course, that's continued on with the January 6th hearings and committees. And what we've seen is a tremendous amount of information that shows that, in fact, there's a different possibility of how the media portrayed it than what was actually, than what actually happened in many, many cases.
You bet.
It was a bad day. A lot of people did things they shouldn't have done. They should be punished for that. But also you have to look at this in the context of the frustration that people are seeing. And this is what the Democrats do not realize. They are pushing the limits of the American people through ignoring their concerns on crime, on the border, on foreign policy, on Ukraine, on so many issues right now, on inflation. And as they ignore that, they are risking complete either collapse of our system or potential political annihilation in the next, hopefully, in 2024 election.
Well, I'm not worried so much about the 2024 election, just with some of the events that are occurring around the country. What I'm very concerned about is continued violence in this country. I mean, I lived through the violence that went on in Washington State. That violence basically tore our country apart. That violence was instigated to a large extent by the progressives. I don't want to see that happen again.
You got to agree with you, Al. And this is what people forget. They marched on the White House, burned down the church in front of the White House. They marched in over 200 cities around the United States, burned, looted, killed, murdered people, destroyed billions of dollars worth of private property and businesses. And of course, that isn't looked at as undermining the nation, but January 6th, for some reason, where you have people that had legitimate reasons to protest and went to extremes. But for the most part, they didn't burn down the Capitol. They didn't do much destruction.
No, they
were very frustrated. They wanted an answer. They were ignored.
Exactly. We got to cut it out, you guys. We're out of time. We're on a clock by 27 radio stations. Stick around. Give us some comments. We will be back next week. Tell us what you want us to talk about.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.